scripture today comes from the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the sixth chapter.
Amen.
Amen. You found it. Okay. Hebrews 6, and I'm going to read, start at the fourth verse through the eighth. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame. For the earth which drinketh in the rain that cometh off upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessings from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. Again, Lord, we ask, Father, that you would just take these words, O Lord, and just use them. Use them, O Lord, for your glory. Be with your servant this morning, Father. Use his lips. Use him, O God, for your purpose. We ask you, Lord, to touch each one of us in the very way that we need. And Lord, that we hear with a spiritual ear that which you would say to us. Take us, Lord, and use us. In the name of Jesus. This verses of scripture that I'm just reading, if we was to look at that, we might say we as Baptists, we believe in the saying that once saved, always saved. Once we're saved, always saved. If you read that scripture, then you could look at that and think maybe that's not right. That once we have known Christ and turned our back upon him, then we have committed the unforgivable, unpardonable sin. Cindy, you're shaking your head no. And you're right. It's a little like, you ever go to, I'm sure you have, go to the mall or to some of the places around. We went to a place down in Sugar Creek. Yeah, down there. Went to a cheese factory. Y'all been to where they make the cheese and all that? Man, you go through there and they got these little things are sitting around everywhere, and little toothpicks. You go up and you jab one of them, you try them, you like them, you try them all. And if you really like any one of them, then you can buy something. That's a little like, but me, I try them all, but I never bought anything. Now, of course, she knows what to buy, and I know. Some of them I'll say, well, yeah, I like that one, or I like them all. That's a little bit like what the scripture is talking about right here. Tasted of the goodness, but not bought. Tasting of the goodness of God without going all the way. Then we find that it's so easy when we have not committed completely to Christ and our calling, that we have tasted, we have come in, we have sit in the pews, we have enjoyed the service, we have heard the preacher, we've heard the singing, we've heard all this, that, and the other thing, but we have not let go. We have stood, we have remained exactly solidly to the world. Yes, we have enjoyed tasting of the goodness of Christ, but we have not went for the meal. We have not went all the way. And you know, this is a dangerous ground because it can confuse, it can almost make us self-satisfied with where we stand. Yes, we can sit through meetings, preaching, and all this. The Holy Spirit can deal with us. We can enjoy part of it and be convinced that we're all right. It's just fine. Everything's good. But yet, if we don't go for the meal, if we don't allow to go all the way with Christ and give Him our heart and say, Lord, take me, use me as you can. Yes. If we don't go all the way, then we're just fooling. We're just getting a taste. We're not getting a meal. When we just get a taste, well, you know, them little bitty things that they make, well, they're just little tiny little things like that, cheeses, you know, or whatever it is. You jam one of them, you eat it. How far do you go before you forget what you tasted like? You don't go far, do you? No. If you leave out of there, you know, go outside or something like that and say, well, I forget what it was like. But take the whole meal. Buy a little bit of the cheese. Yes, get you a couple pounds of it, take it home with you, and you can enjoy it and on, just exactly like you can with Jesus Christ. Yes, if we go all the way with Him, if we give Him our heart, if we go all the way with Him, we eat and we feast at the table that He has prepared. Yes, the meal. Wow. But we can deceive ourselves into thinking that we're all right when we just had a little bit of taste. Then when we go out and hit the world and the troubles that old Satan would throw at us, it's so easy for him to overtake us. Yes, that's exactly what that scripture was saying. Yes, for it is impossible for those who once were enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. Yes, we've tasted. The church of today is, in my opinion, just getting weaker and weaker and weaker. Not the Spirit of God. The power of the Holy Spirit is just as strong today as it was at the day of Pentecost. It is. But people have, how would you say it, degraded the church, the power of the church, to a point anymore that you see right here in our midst. Empty pews. Very few peoples this morning are going to church for the love of Jesus Christ. That's a big statement. But there is very few peoples this morning that are attending church for the right reason. Yes, there's entertainment. Yes, there's things that comes into the church that attracts people. There's dinners and there's all kinds of attractions that goes on within the church to bring peoples in. And they might get a little taste of what Christianity is really all about. They might get just a little bitty taste. But there is so few solid, dedicated Christians that the pews all over the world in little churches all around are getting peoples that are well up in years, old white hair and all that, you know. Yeah, we're not getting any younger. And we're dying off one by one. How many has died off in this church since I came here? Just in the last 3 years. Yes, how many? But there's no one. There's not very many coming up to take over, to take their place. There's not. So consequently, the pews are empty throughout the church. Yes, you can go to these big mega churches, or you can go other places, and you can find entertainment that will allure people in. Absolutely, you can. And it's good to have these people to come in to these, because they can get a taste of that. May have come for the wrong reason, but leave with Jesus Christ. That's the secret. Yes. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, the third verse reads, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called of God, or that is worshipped, so that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God." There is a time in the last times that he speaks of here that there would be a falling away. A falling away is, you know, I used to read that and I would think that was this world out there, how they're turning and going to everything that you could think of, and this and that and the other. You go out to places this morning, probably Walmart's lots packed already. Or the golf courses are, well, still putting. Yep. Or all these things of the world that are doing, I used to think that's what it meant when it said there was a falling away. Not so. The falling away is right in the church. Being discouraged, being, well, thinking that we are self-sufficient. Yes, we're just fine. Now you just stop and think a minute. Falling away. Do we have falling away within us, our congregation here? Do we have falling away within our little circle here? You are not where you once stood. Oh, I didn't hear an amen on that one. Nope. We are not, any of us, where we once stood. Every day we slip just a little bit. We give just a little bit. Yes. We give a little bit in our time for prayer. We slip just a little bit in all of the things that God would have us to do. Do you believe it?
Yes.
We do. Not any one of us, including your pastor, stands as strongly as he did back just a year or so ago. The world seems to have gotten us, gripped on us, to a point that we feel like we're just fine. It has come to a point that we neglect the thing that God would have us to do. Yes, every one of us, when God saved us, he gave us something to do. He assigned us a job. He asked you to do something. And we've done it vigorously when we were first saved. You couldn't stop us. You hit the road. You talked. You preached. You talked to peoples all around. And you tried to get peoples in. You couldn't hold it back, because the power was so great on you that it made you just want to give it. We wanted other people to have it. But over the years, since that time, we've grown just a little bit cooler, and a little bit cooler, and a little bit cooler, until we stand where we're at today. And it's, well, we've got it. If you want it, come get it. If you don't, that's all right too. We take an attitude that's completely changed. We don't spend as much time in prayer as we once did. We don't dwell upon the things of God as we did. We don't read our Bibles like we used to. If we pick up our Bibles and read it during the week, make a specified time, and we use that time for reading only. Just to read the Bible and to get in there and dig and find it. Yes. We used to do that, remember? But now, I don't have time. I got to get good work. I got to do this. I got to do this. Oh, there's something in the way. I got to do this. I got to do that. Well, let me tell you something. If you put anything in front of your reading and your studying of the Word, you've lost. You've lost. I find that if I fail, you know, this is true. If I fail in the mornings to get up and to read the Bible and study the Word, if I fail to do that, my day don't go good. It just does not go good. I don't know whether he's punishing me for it or what, or whether it's just within me. But it seems as though if I get up and I study just a couple hours, you know, early, and dig in there, that, wow, you know, whoo, boy, that was good, you know. And, I can read that just like that. You know, God, you showed me something here that I didn't quite realize. And I get off, yes, good. An attitude, you see. It's that attitude of feeling good, of going out there then and facing the world, feeling better about it. You get up in the morning and, I don't have time to read. I'll just go ahead and go to work. You walk in, hi, boss. Yeah, what do you want? Yeah, people at the grocery store, they go up to their customers and they say, you want something? Yeah, that's the way it works. Because we didn't start right. Watch the horse race history. Did y'all watch that horse race? Mm-hmm. You did? The Belmont Stakes? Yeah, the last of the Triple Crown. Did you see that? Well, they had it all figured out who was going to win. They had the favorites up there. And I don't know how that works, but maybe some of you do, how they bet and all this. But I know the odds are greater, this and that. Yeah, they paid more and all that. I know that. But I don't know how that works exactly. But they had this one. Boy, he was a favorite to win. What happened? Did you see it? When he come out of the gate, he stumbled.
Yeah.
The rider went forward on him, and he lost about so much length right there. And he never got it back. All of it. He never got it. Started out of the gate wrong. Friend, when we start out our day wrong, it's just exactly the same. We're going to stumble all the way. We're not going to get one. That's exactly what he's talking about. Yes. He cautioned the people. And he said, for it is impossible for those who once were enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost. It's impossible. If they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they have crucified in themselves the Son of God afresh. Yes. Impossible. If we turn our backs upon Jesus Christ, Christians, let me tell you, if we continue to separate ourselves, if we continue to degrade our own souls, if we continue to go in the route that we're headed, if we continue to allow Satan to deceive us into thinking that the things of the world that we're bringing in, all of these things that we put in front of Christ, these things that we have to, we just got to do this, we just got to, I don't have time for you, Lord, I've got to do this and that. If we continue to allow that, the pews are going to empty out completely. And there won't be a soul sitting in the pews, and there won't be some preacher standing up here talking. It'll be over. Yes, I can see. I have seen in my lifetime little churches. This once was a what I would consider a big church. Now those little ones out there in the country where I come from, they didn't hold but just a few people. If they'd have had this many in their church at any one time, that's great. But I can see as you travel through the countries, you'll see a lot of these little churches that are boarded up. They're closed. They're gone. Because the things of the world became more important to those people than the things of God. Don't let it happen to you. Keep the faith that Jesus Christ has given you. You've tasted of the good things, and you've eaten of the meal. Continue to feast on that which Christ would give you. Yes. And we can give a little portion. Hand out a few toothpicks. A few samples to those around that you would be. They might just want a meal. Father, we thank you. And we praise you, Lord, for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for just allowing us to dig into the scriptures, Lord. And we pray, O Father, that as you have sent the word, O God, that it has accomplished here this morning that which you would have. And I pray, Lord, that if any one of us needs a closer walk to thee, Lord, that we just set pride aside. Lord, that we get this prideful thing that's within us out of the way and just fall at the altar and say, Lord, forgive me. If I have strayed, if I have become weak, forgive me, Lord, and give me strength. We ask you, Father, just to touch each one of us in the very way that we need. For it's in the name of Jesus that we ask you.